Praise the Lord. Sound men need to be anointed. Do you know that? They need to pray for the anointing. They need to pray for the prophet, the foretelling when they operate. I used to be a sound man many moons ago, and every time my goal was to outmove the speaker. No matter what he tried, I was going to be faster than him. I was pretty good at that. Pretty good. I developed trumpets to blow during praise and played them over the sound system, and I had fun. I don't know if anybody else did, but it seemed to be that the roof began to raise when you did that. All of a sudden, trumpets come out, and they don't know where it's coming from. Poor pastor, he never knew what was going to happen. So, church can be fun. It can be fun. So let's have some fun tonight. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we do want to enjoy you tonight. But more importantly, we want you to enjoy us. You designed us, built us, molded us into friends of God. That's who I am. Someone that you enjoy fellowshipping with, and I thank you so much for that. Nothing better in the world than being quiet and fellowshipping with you. Show us tonight your heart. It's not enough for us to say we have your mind. We want to know what you think. We want to hear what you hear and see what you see so that we can speak what you're thinking. That's impossible with man, but nothing's impossible with you. That is your design. Train us, mold us again tonight to enjoy your presence, to hear your voice, to see you move, to feel you. Let your word become alive tonight to us and change us so that we do not leave here the same. What a waste of time in such a beautiful building, in such a beautiful atmosphere, that we would leave here not knowing that you changed us. We ask, we hunger and thirst for that tonight. Yield to that, submit to that, and expect it, because we ask you and thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, for your benefits, I'm going to cut some corners tonight, if you'll allow me to do that, because I didn't realize this, but when I typed up the scripture references tonight, this was them. And it would take me about 2 hours to read these. So I think I'm just not going to do them. But you better know that I got backup on it. I'll never stand in front of you saying anything that I haven't proved to myself. If you'll trust me with that, then God will fill you without me having to pound your head. And instead of, my wife knows what 11 pages mean, and this is 11 page tonight. She knows that means about 2.5 hours. So we're not going to do that. We're going to cut a bunch of it off. You can't afford it, and you won't like me when we get through. I do notes by pages. I know how much time it takes to do a page. 11 pages takes a long time. Here we go. I enjoy God's presence. I enjoy you, and I enjoy the songs, and I enjoy, if you're dancing, I enjoy that. If you're not, I enjoy that. I enjoy many things of this earth. But I'm going to tell you something. I enjoy the presence of God. I enjoy not having to work for it. With me, this is not religion, but with me, I need to shut my eyes. I need to shut my mouth and open my ears. And that's when things become alive. And I've gotten that down to nearly to a point where it takes me about 10 seconds. I don't have to work it up. And I thank God for that. I can do that in a conversation. Most important in a counseling conversation. Because you can't counsel anybody unless you can't learn to listen. You must work at hearing what that person's trying to say. In a counseling situation, if you will listen to the person that's speaking, they will tell you their problem, and they will tell you the solution also. And it's always that way. Now, how much more so with God? If we could just learn to be quiet and listen, He could tell us what our problem is, and He could tell us what our solution is. Now, do you know how valuable that is? Because most of you don't even know you got a problem. Therefore, how in the world can you arrive at a solution? The Bible teaches us over and over that we have to consider our ways. Do you know how hard it is for us to consider our ways? We're too busy defending ourselves to accuse ourselves. And unless we allow the Holy Spirit to point out a problem, most of us never know that there's this problem standing in front of a blessing. Can't see the forest for the tree. I'm a stump here. The presence of God is all-inclusive blessing. All information, all wisdom, all knowledge, all revelation. Our problem is that we have not yet, you have not yet gotten us goosebumps. You've not yet seen what I'm trying to tell you. Everything that's good, everything that's abundant, everything that's joyful, wisdom, knowledge, salvation, healing, is in the presence of God. Why are we looking for God's presence? When I've presented scripture to you, and the Bible talks it all the time, He chases us down. All we have to do is say, I know you're here, God, but I'm not hearing. It's my fault. You can't be hidden. I must be hiding. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to feel you. I want to know what you know, because that will give me direction, understanding, revelation. You know what a man does with revelation? You know what rich men have? An understanding that a poor man doesn't have. That's all it is. It's not money. Money follows the understanding. There's a formula to wealth. There's a formula. I'm trying to give you the formula. Because one of the things that was revealed to me in the study of the scriptures today was that God's pleasure is in your wealth. It can't always be measured by dollars, I know that, but He wants you wealthy. He wants you thinking wealthy, feeling wealthy. He wants you, when you speak, the wealth come out of your mouth. When you walk, He wants to hear the jingle jangle of wealth on you. He wants others to hear that. Why? Because it shows Him off. I don't know who in the world taught Christians they ought to be sick and unhealthy and poor. Because that's the reflection. Oh, God says, yeah, that's my son in whom I'm sort of pleased. It's like walking nearly saved. God says, yeah, that's my son. He's nearly saved. One of these days, I'll be proud of him when he gets saved. Yeah, that's my son over in the hog pen. He's still my son, but whoo, he stinks. Remember last week? How many of you feel that it's a very, very important thing to make the father proud? Not so. I thought one of the early commandments was that it was to honor your father. Let me say it another way. Bring honor to your father. Let me say it another way. Never dishonor the father. For some of us that weren't exactly honorable all of our lives, no, not pointing to anybody, but the commandment becomes real when you don't have to live up to somebody else's expectations. What you live is, don't bring dishonor to the father. That's how you honor the fathers. Don't bring him dishonor. How do I not dishonor God? If you came to my house and I didn't even acknowledge your presence, would that make you feel good? If I were home. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want to know how to not treat your wife? Never acknowledge she's there. Never acknowledge she's beautiful. Never acknowledge you love her. Never speak to her in a kind way. Never treat her with respect. And find out how great the marriage can be. Isn't that the way we treat God? A lot of times we'll go 7 days and we'll give Him a thought once in a while. We'll give Him a little honor on Sunday. And we wonder why that He's not proud. Let's study. Last week I stopped right on the edge. 10 ways to lose or not walk in the presence of God. One of the most impressive messages I ever heard in my life. Let me put it this way. But brought it to the point the hardest was 10 ways to keep people from coming to the church. It was a great message because it hit us all between the eyes. 10 ways to not have fellowship in the presence of God. How to lose or not walk in the presence of God. Number one, disregard. I just told you one way. Don't even acknowledge a person is there. With what we've already studied, when is God or the presence of God not where we are? I can give you a couple examples, but it's by your choosing, not God's. His presence, even from Genesis, says that His Spirit was on the entire face of the earth, even when it was without form and void. And it's never changed. He just made it better and continued and added company. Us. Do we regard Him when we're driving down the road? When we're going into the office or going into work? Do we know that He's with us? Do we know that He's guiding my path? Do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to do? How do I know that? I can't know that unless I acknowledge that He's acknowledging me. Let me say that again. The presence of God is right here, right now, and if I don't acknowledge that, I don't have the knowledge of that. I have to know it. If I don't feel it, I still have to know it. Why? Because He said so. He said so. That's enough. He's here. He's now. He's not here because His TV broke. He's not here because it's not bowling night. He's here because that's His choice. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? How honored we should be. If I know that God is walking with me, or I'm walking with Him, say it the way that it works for you, then it's the same. What would I do if it was the President of the United States? Would I say, would you get out of my way? I got work to do over here. Or just turn my back and go on about my business. How long do you think he'd hang around? You don't think he's got better things to do than look at my backside? How much more so God? If he's here, then it should take my breath away. I should be in such awe that I can't hardly speak. I can listen because that's the thing to do. My thought processes should be consumed with that. God, what are you doing? I'm looking for what you're doing, but I don't understand. Could you explain? Help me. Help me see. I'm coming. I don't care if I understand or not. I'm going with you and I'm doing. But help me. Disregard. I never give him honor, or my business is more important than his. Hang on, God, for a second. I got to change this dirty diaper. You know how we put God on shelves to do these important things? Maybe dirty diapers wouldn't be so smelly if we just acknowledged that we're still in the presence of God. Maybe one of his attributes is a room deodorizer. He wants us to be a sweet smell, and to him, is that not correct? Would he not initiate that? Maybe the air will smell better if we acknowledge the presence of God. Understand he's always here. Maybe life won't stink. Maybe, can you imagine the presence of God carrying depression or worry or fear? Do you know how much we disregard him when he's saying, please, enjoy me, and we don't enjoy? Isn't that disregard? Too many times we honor others more than him. A disregard is to consider something else or another person other than him. You know what consider is? How about if I say bow to? How about if I say listen to? Do you know what I never want to do, and I swear to you and I promise I won't? I never want to listen to you over God under any condition. I remember one time my wife was out, I don't know, somewhere, and she was doing what she needed to do in a vehicle. And I was face to face with my dad and we were talking up a storm. And all of a sudden God spoke to me. Instantly. There was a warning. I could smell it, hear it, feel it. And I said, Dad, hold it for a second. And I turned my back on him. And God gave me information. I took care of the information, which was her. She was fixing to have an accident. That's what God said. Does that sound strange to you that God would share things with you? And I prayed about it, said, okay, Dad, go ahead. And he's going, what did you just do? You turned your back on me. Yeah, but I turned my front to God. See, I couldn't insult my dad by saying, I got to talk to God for a second. But I might insult God by saying, I need to talk to my dad for a second. Who's got the higher regard here? Everybody that I know needs to know who I regard the most. In every situation, I don't regard a situation over God. I never am impolite to God. You know how many times we are really impolite to God? He shows up and he says, hey, I'm here for communion. I'm not hungry. I don't feel like it. How about insulting? I wonder how many times if we consider our ways that we insult God. I knew a guy one time that thought it was forgivable. Because something didn't go. Because he was a commercial fisherman. I remember now. And he lost a fish up in Alaska. And that made him so angry that he got up and he did an insulting gesture to God and spoke the words behind it. God is such a gentleman that he didn't kill him. You might have. I know if I were God, he wouldn't have gotten off that boat. Not in one piece. But I'm not God. Y'all can say thank you, God, for that. Why do we think? Did you ever yell at God? Boy, you ought to do it. It's an experience. I did it one time. I got angry and I started yelling at God. And he let me go for a season. And when I quit, it was quiet. But it was an unusual quiet. It was a strange quiet. It was so strange that I promised God I'd never do that again. He didn't say anything. But I don't think I was exactly in the presence of God. We disregard by placing our wants, our wishes, our feelings above His. That's how we disregard God. Number two, I'm going to skip the scripture. Disrespect. Disrespect. If my wife will stand up for a minute, I'll show you how easy it is to disrespect somebody. Over here. Just face this way. Now take my hand. Do you see me disrespect her? I didn't show her the honor or the respect. She was reaching out to touch me, and I got a bit hush. I'm over here talking about the band. Leave me alone. I didn't say that, but what message did she get? Didn't she get, I don't want to be touched right now? How many times do we do that without even knowing it to God? He reaches over to touch. He just wants, you know how many times I touch my wife just because flesh and blood needs flesh and blood? Just need a touch. That's all it is. Don't have to say anything. How many times does God touch us? All he wants is the joy of touching us. Now, I got news for you. You're going to get something out of it when God touches you. And we just kind of shirk it off, ignore it. We disrespect him. How many times do we, when we talk in the form of what most of us call prayer, and we use the name of Jesus 43 times in the conversation, or use the word God or Father God or all of this stuff that we do in vain repetitions and don't even realize it? Now listen, I'm trying to get you to think. If I walked up, I don't care, pick anybody. And if I want to talk to you, every third word is your name. It doesn't make any difference what I'm saying. Or praise God. The other day I fell and broke my leg, praise God. Oh, come on. You're not thinking one bit about what you're saying. Your vain repetition, your idle words just spinning. You see, if I've had somebody important in my presence, and by the way, we all should be important in each other's presence because I'm important in God's presence. If that's the way it is, I should fix focus on you. Now, if I'm not looking at you, I'm not interested anymore. Realize it and stop talking. And if I just lost my focus for a minute, I'll come back. That's how we do each other, but let's don't disrespect. Man, if God wants to speak to us, touch us, just do something. My wife was helping them move the other day, and we brought in a basket of roses for her. She said, oh, that's pretty. What is wrong with you? Are you in such a hurry you can't show a little honor, respect? Somebody does something for you, to say thank you. Do you know how many times a day we ought to say thank you, God? What does it take to get a true thank you? I must acknowledge something happened. I must acknowledge the importance of that thing and say thank you. I hope it happens again. If I'm not privileged to be in his presence, I'm disrespecting him. If I'm not listening to him. Did you ever talk to somebody and have them drift off? You just want to hit them? Do you know how much energy I'm putting out here to just discuss this with you? I really don't want to be here and I'm talking anyway. Not listening to, not hearing. You disrespect me if you're not hearing what I'm saying. Why? Well, mainly because I believe God's speaking. It's not important that you disrespect me. It's not recognizing his value and the value of him being with you. Bottom line, when self is more important, it's disrespect. Number three, disobedient. Disobedient. How long can we spend on this? Did you know that God doesn't want to be our drill sergeant? He wants to be our loving father. For him to operate as he wants, with and through his presence, all we have to do is listen carefully. He doesn't yell, he doesn't scream, and he really doesn't like to repeat himself a lot. Check your Bible and see if that's not correct. Now, I wish I was more like God, but the other day, my granddaughter, she had this little car and she ran the rechargeable battery down. She comes and hands it to me. I said, would you take this over? Take it in the house and put it on the charger. She said, well, Papa, you can do that. I said, would you take this battery in there and put it on the charger? She said, well, you can do that for me. Can you take this battery in there and put it on that charger? About the fourth time, Mom said, you're not going to win. Now, where'd she get that clue? Previous experience? Now, God will do that a little bit, but he won't do it much. What he'll say is, do this. And then he waits for you to do it. And let me give you a little clue on this thing. He's not saying anything else until you do that. He's not going to give you plan two or plan three, and he's not going to count to 10 or three. He's too smart to do that, in case you want to know my opinion of counting with your children. He's too smart for that. He knows it doesn't do any good because you figure out where three is, and you just stretch it to three. You still got to do what you first set out to do. Putting it off three counts is not going to help. Just gives them more time to disrespect, to disobey. Here's what disobedient is. It's not heeding his word, which reveals his will. If I were in a good Baptist church here, or a Nazarene, I could talk to you about the sin of omission. Anybody know what the sin of omission is? It's not doing what you know to do. It's a fancy word, but it's disobedience in the form of, if I don't say anything, it'll be okay. If I don't do anything, it'll be okay. Not heeding his word or his will. Doing things that are not for the kingdom of God is disobedient. Boy, you just said something big, didn't I? Didn't I just say something big? Let me tell you how big it is and how simple it is at the same time. You were telling me about this road you're building out on this place. Are you doing that for God or you? It's this simple. Just make a decision you're doing it for the kingdom of God. Then God can help. But if it's for my convenience, it's selfish. Well, Stan, yeah, it's that simple. Everything I do, everything I say should be for a direction. That is to please God. I should wake up in the morning to please God because I know that's what he wants me to do. I should go to bed at night and sleep well because that's his will. And if I'm not sleeping well, I need to change what I'm doing so that I do obey his will, which is children have sweet sleep. If eating enchiladas at 8 o'clock in the evening is going to keep me awake, then I need to stop eating enchiladas at 8 o'clock. It's that easy and that simple. Whatever it is that's causing you not to submit to the blessing of the presence of God, change and watch him bless you. If you're not honoring your wife with your life, change. If she's not honoring me with her life, she needs to change. Why? For the kingdom, not for me. She can't please me. Did you know that? I'm too perfect for her to please me. Come on, guys. You know what I'm talking about. I'm just too good. So how does she please me? She pleases me. She makes sure that everything she does is for God and he takes care of the pleasing. It's what makes marriages work. If I've got to be who she wants me to be, I am lost without hope. I can't do it. I was listening to a friend of mine who wrote a song one time. He was singing, you have asked me to change, and you've told me what you want me to change, but I can't see it. Never will. Never will. I'm not designed to submit to her. I'm not designed to be in your likeness and image. I can only be in God's. And if I want to be in God's likeness and image, and in her heart she wants to be in God's likeness and image, God's going to make her see me the way he wants, and I'm going to see her the way he wants, and I'm going to hear what he wants me to hear, and she's going to hear. You understand? This is life. If you can make a commitment, if you can obey this, just everything you do, make sure it runs by God smooth. That's it. What do you mean by that? It pleases God. Told you that time that kid asked me, walked up at salesman after he sold me $40,000 worth of windows. He said, now that we put this business away, you seem like a wise man. I want to ask you a question. What is the important thing in life? What is life about? Are you ready to answer those kind of questions? Well, I didn't want to preach to him because nobody likes preachers. I didn't say that. Nobody wants to be preached to. They want to be reasoned with, because Jesus laid the rule down when he said, come, let us reason together. So I said, the most important thing in life is when you hit your head hits that pillow and your eyes close and you see the face of God, he's got a smile on his face. And man, you can go to sleep fast. Can I go to sleep fast? Don't try to beat me to sleep so you can't hear me snoring. You won't do it. You better just pray that you don't hear me snoring. You don't want to see somebody's face that you cheated. You don't want to see your wife's face that you had a fight with. You don't want to see this kind of stuff. You want to make sure that everything you did to please God. Does that make me soft? Not a chance. I'll never be soft. God didn't make me soft. You want to fight? We'll fight. But I'm going to do it for the glory of God. We're going to get a knockdown, drag out. We'll argue. We'll butt heads. We'll go to bed with knots on our heads, but we'll go to sleep quick because we're going to do it. We're going to honor God in the argument. Come on. God's funny. He don't mind us arm wrestling. He arm wrestles with me once in a while. I never win, but it still seems to be fun. If I'm doing for myself, it's disobedient. If I'm not doing for the kingdom of God, it's disobedient. If my way is more important, or my want at that moment is more important than God's, it's disobedience. This sounds complicated, but it isn't. God's not that demanding. He just wants your love, respect. Number four, a lust for life instead of a lust for life. A lot of people enjoy life, but they don't enjoy God, the life of God, the presence of God. If you have a lust for life with a little L, you're lost without hope, because I don't care how much you get, it's not going to be enough. It'll never meet the need. If you hunger for things like the Fool's Bar and Grill, I like that. If you think the party is over alcohol, I'm not against alcohol. I'm not here to war about anything. But if you think that's where the party is, you're mistaken. If you think the party's in a dance, you're mistaken. If you think the party's in dancing with somebody else's wife, you're mistaken. If you think the party is in any physical activity at all, you're mistaken. Because physical activity will never please you. Your party has to be in pleasing God, seeing his face, seeing him smile. I don't want to wait till the end of this world is over to hear, well done. I want to hear that every day. If I thirst to satisfy flesh, I'm in trouble. Let me put it this way. Having a desire of any type that is foreign to the promises or the purposes of God. If I lie to you by not telling you the truth, I'm still a liar. Silence is consent. Always. Would you please remember that? Jesus was never silent when he walked on this earth. He didn't say, I won't insult you because you're doing wrong. He'd just look at you and say, you're doing wrong. Where did Christians go? Right now, we got the state of Texas gone into a private camp and took over 400 children against the law of God, with no proof. In fact, it's proven now it was over a lie. And the news media is telling you it's right. You're not saying anything. They're not afraid of Christians because we can just be quiet and God will take care of all of it. Make sure I did what I was supposed to do here. All right, number five. If you have other gods. Husbands, how much are you supposed to love your wives? As you love yourself? Okay, now we're going to figure out real quick if you love yourself more than God. So I love her like crazy, but not to the point that I'm crazy. God's going to be first place. Let me tell you something, husbands. If you love your wife more than God, God's a jealous God and you don't want him fooling around. You don't want to fool around because his fooling around is tough. If God tells you something and you're supposed to do it, don't you let your wife talk you out of it. Because now all of a sudden you've chosen her over him. God's a jealous God. Well, his wrath will go to fourth generation. You don't want that kind of nonsense. I'm not picking on wives. Pick anything. Hot rod cars, bands, cars. I don't care what it is. If one time you place it before God, God is still a jealous God because he said he was. Did you know God never asked our opinion?
Yeah.
Do you have a right to an opinion? Yes. And an armpit. You have the right to both of them. Most of the time, they're both smelly. Don't visit it and don't ask anybody else to visit it. Allowing anyone else to interfere with what you know God wants is having another God. Allowing any other influence, no matter what it is. Are you telling me that I should place God before work? Yes. Yes. Well, how do I know it's God? Well, see, that's the problem. You haven't spent enough time in the presence of God to even know it's God. Or let me tell you, I heard a guy say one time, he was an expert in counterfeit money, and somebody asked him, how did you get to be an expert in counterfeit money? He said, I spent a lot of time looking at the real thing. That's how you recognize the counterfeit. You don't study counterfeit. You study the real thing, and the counterfeit will stand out like a sore thumb. It won't smell right, feel right, hear right. It just won't be right. Let me tell you one of our biggest gods. Will you allow me to do that? A vote. You think you have a vote, and that vote becomes God to you. Well, surely God would want me to have an opinion. No, he'd rather you didn't. Well, surely he wants me to be independent. No. No, I never saw in the Bible where independence was prosperity, was a blessing. Well, I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I said, this is the problem. And I laid it out there, and he said, but I don't believe that. Another God. He wasn't looking for truth. He thought he had the right to have a voice. Well, you sound like a dictator. No, I sound like Theo. We don't have a democracy. You and I gave up the democracy. We now are in a theocracy. Is it a dictatorship? If you like that word, you use it. I don't care, but God is always right. It's not a dictatorship because he won't force you to submit to the blessing. He wants you to do that on your own. Number 6, a wrong path. Do you remember the wrong path we studied about last Wednesday? The son took a wrong path, headed out to the pig pen. Had to live there quite a while before he figured out he was in the pig pen. That's how stupid sin makes you. You can't even figure out you're in a pig pen. Why? Because we don't believe and we don't allow God to order our steps and our paths. Let me say it clearly. We don't believe, truly, truly believe that every step we take, God has planned. Therefore, we disrespect his plan. I believe more now than ever in my life that every step that I take is ordered. How can you believe that, Stan? Because I trust it to be so. I believe that that's what he wants. I've come to the conclusion that's what I want. Now we're in agreement. One can put 1,000, two can put 10,000, except I'm agreeing with God. I think his vote's bigger than one. And even if I'm missing it, I'm trying to miss it. He's taking my foot and putting it back where it's supposed to be. Well, what about when you screw up? Who said I screwed up? What have you been up? You've already seen the end? We judge too quick. If I go any direction except what I know to be God's direction, I'm on the wrong path. Number 7. See, I'm moving. Not fast enough. Goodness. The minute I let my flesh loose, I have now started seeking desire over wisdom. Did you know that desire very, very, very seldom has anything to do with wisdom? Very seldom. I have a desire for my wife. That's wisdom that God has given me. And the desire. And I like it. I enjoy that. Thank you, God. I've seen bad marriages. I don't have one. Thank you, God. I guarantee all of us have something we can give between just talk and thank constantly. But generally speaking, I'm going to be half nice here and say, generally speaking, if you have a desire, it's wrong. It's going against God. Why are you saying that, Stan? You know it's not true. I'm saying it so you'll be careful. Not so that you'll believe that God doesn't give you desires, because he does. He promised that. I'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean when your heart desires, he'll give it to you. It means he's giving you the desire. And when you get close to God, then you can begin to trust that when he puts a desire in you, it's from God. There you can abandon the desire. But until that point, many times you have to overcorrect. I don't care what course it is, you have to overcorrect. You've gotten off course and you've got to overcorrect to get back on. You know what what punishment to a child is? It's an overcorrection. They're off path. You've got to take what is normally not the way you do it. You overcorrect so they remember, I don't want to do that anymore. If you will just not trust any of your desires for a season, God will honor you with correct desires. It's a true fast. It's a fast that'll get you there fast too. God doesn't want you to be unhappy. He don't want you to be miserable in this beating your flesh and all that nonsense, beating your head on wailing walls and all. He's got better ways than that. Trust Him. He'll treat you right. In Cozumel, we always hear, "We'll treat you right." That's the chant at the door when you walk by. "We'll treat you right. We'll treat you right. Come in here. We'll treat you right." God don't treat you right. He treats you right. Seeking desire over wisdom. What are we to cry out for? Do you think that God is pleased when you say, "Give me my desires," or when He says, "Give me wisdom"? Number one, we acknowledge He's got the wisdom. Number two, we say we need some. Now we got everything in order. Number eight, we move out of the presence of God when we decide we have a free choice. Are you telling me we don't have a free will? Oh, you got a will, but it's not free. It may send you to hell. That's not free, and it's sure not wisdom. When God laid out there, "Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses," to wise people, that's not a choice. It's not a choice. We don't have a free choice. We have a choice that can cost us. I'm out of the will of God. I'm out of the presence of God when I just walk up to Him and say, "I have a vote in this matter." Sure you do. You do. Pig pen. It's that way. And God would say, "I'm not going with you. It stinks over there." And more than that, I'm not asking anybody to go with you. Now I'm going to say this, and it can be positive or negative. God wants me to do what I want and have what I want. You agree or disagree? It's a trick. You agree or disagree? God wants me to do what I want and have what I want. Yes and no. If it's all up to your desire, no. If you'll wait till He gives you the desire, yes. Because my desire turns into what I want. And if I want to please God with all of my heart, He's going to give me what I want. Did you hear me? He's not going to just have me work it out. He's going to give me the ability to please Him. And I'm going to start walking this life one day and I'm realizing I'm not sinning against God. And I don't even know how this has happened, but thank you, God. I don't even want to sin against God, and thank you, God. I don't want to hear people talk about that they want to sin. Because I'm going to think, "You fool. What's wrong with you? This is fun. What you're doing is not fun." Y'all didn't act like you agreed with me on that one. I don't know. God wants you to do what you want and have fun at it. I promise you. I could spend a lot of time on that. Number nine. You seek any other name or any other identity. I'm a Baptist. I've just walked out of the presence of God. I'm not a Baptist. I'm still out. I'm using identity. I'm using a name other than the name that I have been given. You know who I am? I'm a Sutcliffe. In some circles, that might mean something. But in the presence of God, it means absolutely nothing. Now, where do I place the importance? Abraham's my father. Out of the presence of God. Because you ain't dependent on your relationship with God, you're depending on Abraham's relationship with God. I'm a Christian. Give it up. It's been polluted. Don't go there anymore. 80% of the United States is Christian. If you don't believe it, ask them. I don't want to be linked to anything but God. That's it. Well, what do you believe? Probably not like you. Why don't we just leave it at that? You believe in God? You believe in heaven and hell? Well, at least we got some boundaries built here. Let's go. It's amazing when you talk to Christians. Well, there's no hell. God would never send anybody to hell. If you haven't heard that before, you haven't been around. Well, God will never send you. Do you know God will never send anybody to hell? They send themselves. They take the wrong name. They take the wrong identity. God says, "I prepared hell for Satan and those that follow him. So we need to be careful of what name we take. Is that so simple? I mean, so hard to figure out? You know, we walk up to the door, one of them's wide, one of them's narrow. There's a big road over here, there's a narrow one over here. This one says Satan, and this one says God. That's how simple this is. I don't mean to take away from theology, but I do. It says unless you understand these things as a little child, you'll never enjoy the kingdom of God. There's two doors. One's got a name, or both of them have a name. You need to choose what name you're going by. And don't let anybody else put any other name on you. I'm an apostle. Well, let's see. What is on those doors? Man, I don't see that door. I don't know where to go now. I guess I have to just depend on my name. Do you believe that who God made you is valuable? Then one of your names must be valuable. Now, if you believe you're of no value to God, then your name is no value to God. And you will operate in that sphere with that lack of authority. I know who I am. I've told you who I am. Yahweh, Ben Yahweh, God in the form of the Son of God, Stan, anointed, Christ, who gave me that name, my Father. Yahweh gave me that name. He called me Son, did he not? That makes me Yahweh Ben Yahweh. God had to drill that home to me. I'm trying to give it to you for free. He's got your name. You figure out what your name is, and then don't go by any other name, or you leave the presence of God. This is good stuff. Man, I paid some big money for this. And I don't mean money. I mean it came with a price. If you exalt any other name or purpose than God's, you're out of the presence of God. If you yield or exalt any other voice, title, or vote, you're out. You mean God's mean? No. You left. He's right there. You just quit paying attention. Number 10, no trust. No trust. Now, this one is rough. Because if you'd let me write a test and give it to you, everybody in here would fail. But we're going to try, right? Even on this stuff, it says in God we trust. But most of us trust this $10 bill much more than we trust God. Because most of us would say, if I don't have the $10 to buy the need that costs $10, I can't have what I need. Did I say that correctly? That's the way most of us operate on. If I don't go earn this, I can't buy what this will buy. And yet the Word says that's not how you earn. Don't earn things that are going to be eaten up and blow away. Don't buy with those things. Well, Stan, I held my hand up a while ago too. I figure I'm going to get all this stuff right about the time I walk into heaven. Up until then, I'm working it out with fear and trembling. And that's where we need to be. I'm already a son of God, but I'm still working it out with fear and trembling. I know this much, God provides all my needs according to His riches, not according to what's in my pocket. And I can never say I'm rich. I can say I'm a son of a rich man. And I can say I have His authority to write on His checking account. But your Bible says that He has the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills. He never said He gave that to you. He said you can rule and reign. You can have dominion in that area. I was sitting with a few guys talking about a business deal yesterday. It was funny. A young man there, he might be 40, he might be less. But he's got a rich dad. But he don't talk about his dad. And you're talking about, we got to stock this thing over here and it's going to take my $9 million. I can do that. He said, I can do that. And I'm watching and I'm listening. He can't do that. He still owes his dad so much money. When he pays anything, he has to pay his dad. But you know what he's really saying? My dad can do that. Now, you remember the prodigal son? He ran off with all the money. Uh-huh. His dad still had a lot of money. Uh-huh. See, I'd rather depend on my dad's bank account than mine, because I've seen mine run lean once in a while. And when he said, I can do that, I looked at him and I said, you mean your dad can do that? Oh, no. My dad said no more deals. I said, what that means, and I've heard it before, is talk me into it. Listen to what I'm telling you. That's what dads do. You know why fathers want you to talk them into something? So you will talk through something. If you know that you have to convince the Father to shell out the bucks, He's going to want to know that you understand what you're asking. Have you counted the cost? That's one of the orders, is it not? You want a business deal? You better talk to the Father. You better convince Him this is a good deal that He needs to back. I don't care if you've got the money to pay for it. When that money's gone, you don't have any more unless He backs you. Come on, I'm talking sense to you. If you put faith in what you can do, loser, which way's L? This way or this way? This way? Okay, loser. I'm on this side, I can't tell. If I give place to another authority or another power, I'm not trusting God. Consulting, here's the tough one. Any other before considering God. Too many people in the church, no matter what the need is, whether it's physical or financial or whatever, they do everything they can do and then they go talk to God. Then He has to work real hard to get you out of your mess. When all we had to do is stop and say, God, You're the answer. That's where I start. Now, what would You like me to do? He might tell you to go fishing. Right? Y'all know Your word? He might tell you to go fishing. And your family might say, are you crazy? My Bible says if I trust in the Lord with all my might, all my heart, and I don't lean to my own understanding, if I acknowledge Him in every one of my ways, what's going to happen? He will direct my path to where? Destruction? You don't know the God I know if that's what you think. The rest of that says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. That's trusting. And it will be health to your flesh. That's the best vitamin I've ever seen. And it'll be strength to your bones. Everybody's losing the strength in their bones because they don't trust God. They can call it osteoporosis all they want to, but it's actually deaf, dumb, blind. They don't trust God. I'm not going to get to this. That's the negative. Next week I'll talk to you about the positive. And I didn't even read the scripture. I got to stop. Out of respect for you, I have to stop. I've told you before, and this is serious, because this is what God's told me. I would rather have you trust me than love me. It's that serious to God. Because if you trust Him, He knows you love Him. But you can tell Him you love Him and never trust Him, and He don't believe a thing you say. I got that revelation one time, and the first time I said, I trust You, God, I thought I was going to take off that launch pad. Just straight up. I trust You, God. Such a weight can be taken off if you just learn to say, I trust You, God. One night, early morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, she's a little baby. She gets an asthma attack that looks like she was turning blue. Evidently, witnesses around, I didn't even know this until recently, said she died. And I'm over the top of her saying, God, I trust You. You gave her to me, I gave her right back. You want her now? She's yours. I don't think it's time, but I yield to You. She looked dead to you? She came close a couple of times, but not from asthma. God wants you to trust Him even when it looks like there's no hope. Especially when it looks like there's no hope. Otherwise, you're going to die from a diagnosis. Who's going to give it to you? Anybody you listen to. Anybody you listen to. Here's God's diagnosis for you tonight. I want you to prosper. I want you to be in health. And especially this, I want your soul to prosper. And I have the plan. I have the plan. I've got the bank account. I paid the price. Jesus, the blood of Jesus took care of it all. Nothing else can be done. Nothing else needs to be done. Trust me. Trust me. Can we do that? Anybody need any prayer tonight? You heard them, God. You heard them. They said yes, but I'm not going to stand up. You don't have to. I haven't got anything for you. I don't have a thing for you. I can agree with you. I can lay hands on you by your request only. And then it's just a matter of faith. The power is in the presence. The power is in God. I'll agree with you. If you need anything, we can call for agreement. If you have confidence in other people, it's fine. But I, like God, want to see you walk in health. I want you to be prosperous. All hearts clear? 4. And so, what's the devil telling you? About your finances? No way. Well, he believes that because there's no way for him. He's lost without hope, but you're not. But how about the swollen ankles? What's the devil telling you?
That they're getting bigger and bigger.
And then what's going to happen? He's already got the plan laid out. See there? See how that plan's laid out? My ankles are going to swell. They're going to get bigger. I'm going to have to lose my job. That's his plan. We've been talking about God's plan. Will y'all agree? And let me tell you, I'm a strange egg. Y'all don't know that yet. But there is power in agreement. There's very little power in prayer. Because if we begin to pray, we begin to honor the prayer. Then we look for the prettiest prayer, the loudest prayer. Then we want to see people fall out and shake or whatever, instead of just looking and knowing that God's going to do it. God's got a plan for you. His plan is good. His plan is life and that more abundantly. That means His plan is for that you... Did you know the Bible says that as you get older, you're not supposed to lose one function of your body? None of it's supposed to go away? You women, you better worry about that from your husband. He's going to be active for a long time. Do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe He wants you to have swollen ankles? Anybody in here believe she's supposed to have swollen ankles? Because there's a lot of complications that come from that. And so it's just the first step of the enemy to kill, destroy. I will agree that that's the first step. Let's just don't go any further with it. Y'all agree with me right quick, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you with this, your daughter. Yeah. Y'all give her the name right now. Yeah, reveal to her. One of the name is healed. That's one of your names is healed. Saved, delivered. Now reveal to her, Father, as she trusts you right now in agreement that she will see these ankles to go down. More than that, here's the key. Listen, I just got the key. The key is this. You must follow God's formula. There's a formula. There's a recipe to make this happen. You consult Him. It's going to be in your diet and it's going to be in your faith. Those two things are going to make you whole. Faith will make you whole. The bruises and the stripes of Jesus will make you whole. Your obedience to the recipe will make you whole eternally. Heal her now, Father. We talk about your presence. Do your thing in our presence now, and we'll give you praise forever in Jesus' name. Now, He said you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. We will be looking for the time where freely you will give up and give Him, you'll get up and give Him praise. As bold as you were to ask for prayer, you'll be more bold to give Him praise in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Y'all agreed for her healing? You agreed that she's going to give a testimony? We're looking forward to it. Amen. Y'all stand with me. Y'all are good. Anytime you stand true with a long-winded person, you're good. Hallelujah. God will reward you for your investment in time. We stand in awe of you, God. And thank you so much for your plan. We're not worthy, but we're willing. We receive you now, your presence. As we leave this place, your presence will be more real than ever before. Tomorrow, as the enemy tries to come in like a flood, you will respond. But you are the greater flood. Guide our steps. Direct our paths. Lead us in paths of righteousness right into the right place. That means whether it be in the middle of a battle, we don't care. Just use us to further the kingdom of God. For these things and for your goodness tonight, for your word, we receive with thanksgiving. We leave here with expectation, and we do it in the name that takes dominion over every name, in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.